this edition of Your Music, Your Way, The Powerful Path of Sonic Improvisation for Accessing Innate Genius and Liberating Your Unique and Precious Gifts. I'm here with Gary Malkin, an amazing human being that I've just met recently and really have enjoyed a couple of conversations now, and this is really going to be fun to do this today. Welcome, Gary.
Great being here.
So the context that we're in is obviously changing dramatically and rapidly. And from the standpoint of how do we proceed, there's so many questions that just aren't answerable right now. And so we're really at a point in human history in general, not just with this coronavirus, but in so many different kinds of ways, where the future and even the present is simply unknown. And over the last 100 years or so, we've actually known intellectually that reality is fundamentally unknowable. You know, it's energy and matter bouncing back and forth probabilistically. And so the nature of our reality is fundamentally unknowable. And so one of the most valuable skills that I think any of us could learn at this point in human history is to be able to navigate the unknown with mastery. And sonic improvisation is a way to practice that, to a way to learn about that process, to engage in a training for ourselves that can help us to learn how to be okay walking into an unknown next few moments or next few days or weeks or years in a way that we can feel like we're resourced, well enough resourced to be able to do that with a level of confidence that we can proceed. And so that's what this summit is about, is to bring together artists, musicians, sound healers, scientists, ritual leaders, activists, people who are engaged in creating the world as they want to see it, and learning about how these different approaches can help us to navigate the unknown in our own ways. And I have brought an incredible creative person here to talk with about this stuff, Gary Malkin. Gary is a multiple Emmy Award-winning composer, a public speaker, singer-songwriter, and music and health innovator who empowers the world to embrace music and sound strategies for health and wellness and a connection to what matters most. Aho to that. He is dedicated to redefining music's role in society's institutions, with a particular focus on developing music-infused psycho-spiritual resources for all people facing significant life transitions throughout their lives. He has spent the last 20 years developing alchemical wisdom, a unique genre that sets the spoken wisdom to customized music in order to listen to life wisdom, not just with our intellectual minds, but with our hearts and souls as well. One improvisational form of this genre that he's particularly passionate about is exemplified through his collaborations with thought leader Sarah McCrum, which they refer to as transformances. Gary is a resident musician for Grace Cathedral's popular Labyrinth Yoga Project in San Francisco, improvising piano and voice for avid multi-faith practitioners for the most inclusive yoga class on the planet since 2015. I'd love to hear about that. Gary has been developing a body of improvisational musical works that inspire a more heart-centered mindfulness, evoking a more embodied way to participate in the expanding field of mindfulness. Gary is best known for the globally acclaimed listening resource, Graceful Passages, co-created with the award-winning music and filmmaker team, Michael and Doris Stillwater. This work has touched nearly a million people worldwide, including me, offering emotional and spiritual support for all those traversing illness and end-of-life processes. Still scoring film and TV projects, Gary is creating original music for the ground. Gary created the original music for the groundbreaking documentary Thrive, seen by 100 million people in 27 languages since its 2011 release. He's currently creating the soundtrack for the sequel Thrive 2 to be released by summer 2020. Frequently asked to offer keynote performances to healthcare, corporate, and New Thought communities around the world, Gary has presented to places such as Stanford Health, Houston Methodist Hospital, the National Cathedral of Washington, Google, Sun Valley Wellness Festival, Harvard's Conference on Spirituality and Health, and Kaiser Permanente conferences. He's a frequent guest on international teleseminars promoting a deeper understanding of the generative power of music for optimal wellness and a more meaningful life. And you can learn more about Gary and his work at wisdomoftheworld.com. And Gary is here today to talk to us about awakening to the holy now, harnessing the power of improvisation to cultivate trust, flow, and presence in your life and your music. It's really a deep honor to welcome you to this conversation, Gary. Thanks so much for being here.
I'm exhausted just hearing that. My God.
Not as much as I am. I'm out of breath.
Have I really done all that? My God. Wow. You live long enough, man, you know?
Well, it's just delightful. And when I was introduced to you by a mutual friend about this summit recently, I was amazed and delighted because I really think that the work that you do is such a powerful expression of the vision that I have for this the possibility of using sound and improvisation to really make a profound difference in so many different kinds of ways. And you have been exemplifying that for years now. So I don't even know where to start, but I guess, what is one of the things that kind of originally got you going on all this stuff?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because the heart of improvisation is really, one could say that the heart of improvisation is what brought me into music at the very, very first, right? Mm-hmm. So I grew up in, the stereotypical, like Woody Allen movies where they jokingly talked about the family under Coney Island roller coaster and people were interrupting each other and taking food from each other and dysfunctional Jewish family, right? So I grew up in that kind of chaos, not in under Coney Island's steep, what do you call it, that roller coaster, but in suburbs of Long Island and grew up in no boundaries, a loving, dysfunctional, crazy place. And I only remember, and literally my first memory that I remember consciously was when I touched the piano. And I was in the home of a friend, a new friend. I was 5 years old. And I was waiting for my mother to pick me up. And I was searching around the house because I was kind of on my own. My other friend kind of drifted off. And I found this black box in the middle of the living room with these black and white things on it. I'd never seen it before. I didn't know what it was. And something pulled me to it, and I touched a note. And honestly, in that moment, I likened it to when Dorothy got out of the black and white tornado tussled house and opened the door and went, oh, the colors, you know. And that sound of the one note, I had never had any power before as a 5-year-old. Suddenly, that one note became two notes, and my right hand started playing a melody that I had heard, and then I felt kind of lonely, so I started to reach my left hand, and it sort of made a harmony, and all of a sudden I'm playing something I never knew I could replicate, and my mother walks in the door to pick me up, and the mother's friend says, my friend's mother said, I didn't know he was studying the piano, and my mother's shocked, said, I didn't either. And she said, better get that kid a piano, you know. Well, that kind of power where I didn't have to know anything and suddenly my ear had an intelligence all its own that could guide me into something that felt familiar was a kind of power that hooked me instantly, but more importantly, saved my life because it created a sanctuary within which I had my first experience of what I now call the I-Thou experience, you know. Suddenly, instead of having this intrusive world where there was no sacred place for me to retreat to, it was all interruption and boundary infringement. And suddenly, the sound created the container that no one could touch. No one, it was my sacred space suddenly that I never had before. And I'm the only one in the family. It wasn't a musical family. There was no culture at all, you know. So I was clearly a gift that was given to me before I was born. And we know of people that can play by ear. And that's what was my greatest gift, but my greatest curse, because it came so I could instantly play. And the more I was exposed, I became an improviser immediately. And therefore, learning how to read music was a real chore. And I kept on resisting it for years
Yeah, I
until I
can
heard Beethoven and around 5 years of playing all the golden standards and the Broadway standards and improvising and playing and but then when I heard Beethoven for the first time, first, in sixth grade from a peer who was tied to the keyboard, I have to practice every day kind of thing, I went, whoa, what's
imagine.
that? What is that? I certainly was never going to be exposed to Beethoven and Mozart and Bach by my family. And that's when I buckled down and took a really great teacher and learned how to play conventionally.
It seems like to me that that is the ideal way to do it, for you to start by developing your own relationship with the instrument, and it's based in sound. And so you develop this relationship with the sound making quality of this thing so that that becomes your ground.
It's so great then that you say it because I haven't taught a lot in my life, but I'm teaching a little bit right now. And one of the things, and I used to teach in the 70s when I said I want to teach people who had forsaken their relationship to piano when they had first started. And there were a lot of adults that gave up and then regretted that they did. But a lot of, I bet there would be studies that would prove that when the attention funnels to an intellectual, like the language of music writing, right? Similar to English and the alphabet, right? When you funnel your sound through the intellectual processes of what it looks like on a page, then funneling back to your ear is a real challenge for someone who wants to have an immediate relationship with the sound, right? And you're right. The reason why I became a composer was because what is composing? But the capacity to invent and create from nothing, right? That's the spirit of improvisation is the art of composing, right?
And speaking of sound, Gary, we have a little bit. I'm wondering if your mic is rubbing up against something, like if it might be rubbing up against your shirt or
Oh,
something.
it is. There we go. Sorry about that.
That's all right. I don't know if you have need to hold it, but just something. But I agree. I bet studies would show that, because the real heart of it is the sound. It's the sound. And when we think that the music is about the notes on the page or the trying to replicate what somebody wrote 200 years ago, when we think that being a musician is being able to do these other skills that are tangential to the sound making process itself and the direct experience of that, we get, there's a distortion in our relationship to the music and to
Well,
ourselves.
which by the way, is analogous to and reflective of what I would call one of the essential shadows and wounds of our society, which is, what I call it, the Cartesian myth. The I think, therefore I am, that has ruled our culture probably since Greek times, but more specifically, the last 300
Big
years, the
part.
Gutenberg Press and the scientific obsessions, right? And so the belief that our thinking processes is the only credible thing that separates us from the apes, Sorry about that. If you heard that, I hope you didn't. I'm going to close my email so you don't hear that again.
I didn't
There you
hear.
go. Oh, good. So it's so when we funnel sound through an intellectual symbolic process of music, written music, preventing us from relating directly to the sound. That's why a lot of my journey after being conventionally trained has brought me to appreciate the relationship of allowing sound to be its own teacher in and of itself as a portal into the present moment. And what I found is that trained musicians, who are the greatest of the trained musicians from places like where I went to school, Oberlin Conservatory, it's so inconceivable for there to be a direct relationship, an intimate direct relationship with the sound itself, that many people who are so obsessed with complex or cerebral relationship with music have a hard time with the spaciousness that requires, especially new pianists. They want it to get good right away, and they miss the opportunity to sensitize to the beauty of the sound itself. simplicity of the sound itself. And that's why I, talk about acquaint yourself with the lifespan of a sound, of a note, and learn how to live inside the striking of the note, the vibrancy of the brightest part of the note, and the dying off of the sound until it goes away, as if you're striking a Tibetan bell and waiting for the bell to resound completely till there's nothing left, right? And in Western music, we're so mental that we're too impatient to appreciate the sonic power of of the note itself. And that is the root to a great improviser, is becoming intimate with the sound of the note or the instrument that you're playing itself.
So beautifully put. So when you are in the process of improvising, and when you're maybe just playing by yourself, and you are exploring, it's like, what are you? How do you conceive yourself, or how might you explain yourself as you engage in that process? You're going to start with something, and then you're going to go here, and you're not sure where you're going to go. How do you experience that?
I almost feel like you should play a little excerpt from the track I gave you called Snow Lion. And
Okay.
it's a long piece, so you should just play the first, I don't know, 60 seconds or something. And
Okay.
just because I sat down and I each track from that album, the album's called Winter Faith, each track I thought of someone I loved and allowed my bhakti heart, I'm a big-hearted, loving guy, right? And everybody knows me as Gary the Big Heart, you know. Well, the truth is, we all have the capacity to really love, and I'm no different. And so I thought of Doris, the woman who's married to my former creative partner, with whom I created that work called Graceful Passages, which is when I discovered the art of scoring spoken wisdom in a way that creates out what I call alchemical wisdom, right? Well, this particular album was inspired in 2005 when I was struggling financially like crazy, because I'd given up my commercial life and was really hadn't really done I used to do a lot of commercials and TV shows and films from like 1980 to 2000. In 2005, I was whole hog in this Graceful Passages exploration, which was, how can music transform our relationship with life and death itself, right? With our life transitions. And I was struggling. And Michael Stillwater, my beloved friend, said, "You a-hole, there are like half a million people out in the world who love Graceful Passages, who would love to hear what it would sound like if you just sit down and play the piano. So just sit down and play the freaking piano." So I was kind of, that was before I was very nervous and not too confident about my improvisational style. And I just went, I need something to inspire me. And I thought, I want to think about Doris, your wife, because I love your wife. She's the most extraordinary woman, amazing spiritual teacher and guide. And so I sat down and I just played, listen the first minute, and just that might help answer in a living way how I would
Okay,
answer that question.
beautiful. And I just want to make sure I'm going to play the same thing, because I've got a couple of options. It's the one in the Graceful Passages folder here.
No, it's the one in the in the
Oh,
Winter Faith folder.
Winter Faith. Okay, and we've got two, and this is Into the Majesty.
No, Snow Lion.
No line. Okay. Let me get the right one here. Okay, here we go.
I'm not hearing you. Okay, I'm going to stop it. Only because if you're hearing what I'm hearing, it's very spotty. and I wasn't able to hear it properly because it's
Oh, really?
very, yeah, compressed. But also, that wasn't the right piece.
Oh.
I guess I must have given you the wrong piece by mistake. I apologize. So
You
then,
know, but I've got to say that it answered the question beautifully, because what I heard in that was you playing a note or two and listening to it and then
right.
going, okay, what to do next? Let's try this one and see what happens.
Yeah, the track that I was hoping to play was this, maybe it was listed wrong in my Dropbox folder, but it was this sort of Baroque unhinged, or like a Renaissance piece through a glass darkly kind of thing. And I was imagining Doris because she feels like such a almost like a wisdom keeper from the 15th century. So there was this quality of, like dark leather with gold writing, and there was this energy about the piece that felt inspired by an ancient time in a way, and it's very evocative of and why did I think of that piece? It's just exactly in part the kind of thing that only music can answer, which is the spaciousness informed where the next note went. And the feeling I had for Doris inspired in an unmistakable way an energy of a place and time that imagined her sitting right next to me. And I don't know, it was just, it's a very infused very much by the emotion of either a scene, or, having scored so much TV and film in my life, she became the film score. Her she became the screen upon which the music was based. So I don't know, I'm getting very romantic here. Sorry.
Well, there's no need to apologize, because the essence for me in what I'm hearing from you is that it comes from this deep place. It comes from relationship. It comes from
Exactly.
heart. It comes from feeling, and it comes from, that this experience that we have of being human that can be so difficult to articulate in words, but in music, it can be communicated in a way that people can feel and really just go, oh yes, I know that feeling. Oh yes. Oh yes.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have this story that's come to mind that I remembered when I first started to do pure improvisation. It was before I heard Keith Jarrett's work, and then I remembered reading the movie The Mists of Avalon. I'm reading the book The Mists of Avalon by Marion Zimmer Bradley, and I was so moved. I went in the studio and I did a whole album's worth of music that was based on the characters and the story of that, right? Then I heard Keith, I never released it, but then I heard Keith Jarrett and I went, well, that's that. I'm never going to play piano again. I am never going to play piano again. And literally, it closed me down for 10 years.
Oh my.
10 years. I just froze. And all I did was focus on TV and film commercials and television shows and all that. And it just, the perfection of the Cohen concert just completely pushed me back in the closet, right? Which is a shame, it's a great teaching story because, the Buddhists talk about comparison as being one of the great, the great malas, the great forms of self-tormenting, right? So
Totally.
I went through that. But then in 1998, I was asked to do the opening piano improvisation for a thing called the State of the World Forum. That was the opening hour as people were gathering in Grace Cathedral, holding 2,000 people. And
Wow.
Jane Goodall was the opening speaker. And
Wow.
I decided to just, on the center of the stage, there was a grand piano, and the whole Grace Cathedral was empty, right? I just closed my eyes and I went, and suddenly this energy of devotion to wanting to be of service to the world went. What would it look like if you looked at war? Because the whole purpose of State of the World Forum was about looking at the state of the world. And I imagined, what would it be look like if what would it look like if you looked at the war 20,000 feet above the earth? And the energy, all of a sudden the phrase came, bless them, for they know not what they do, that famous phrase. And what came out of me was so profound and I wish to God it had been recorded, but that was the birth of me getting out of the closet of comparison. And what I realized for me was that when the music was created in devotion to the greater good, to the benefit of a better world, to in service to a higher purpose, that's what lit me up out of comparison and into pure portal, right? Mm-hmm. And when I opened my eyes, the room was filled with 2,000 people listening as if you could hear a pin drop. Wow. And Jane Goodall gets on the stage, and it changed my life, because I realized that and this is a teaching moment, actually, to be so in your heart and soul of your sense of purpose, whether it's feeling about love for somebody you love, or just living in the sonic sanctuary of your own consciousness and trying to shut out all of the distractions, to me, is what music's all about, and especially improvisational music. Mm-hmm. And so that's what brought me back into, wow, this is something I really have to explore further. And it really opened me up in a whole new way. I didn't know I was going to share that, but I remembered it just
I'm
because
so of glad you did. What a beautiful story. And it sounds like it was for you, it was this opportunity to break through your own barriers that you had, and to just trust and to close your eyes and go into the unknown and just go and offer yourself in service.
Right.
So a lot of people listening, you know, may be fascinated by this possibility for themselves in one way or the other. And a lot of them will say, oh, I would love to do that, but I don't have a musical bone in my body. I only had 2 years of piano training, and I kind of know the scales and the chords, but I can't do that. And so what would you say, how much training and, you know, theory and all these things are necessary in order to have the kind of experience of offering in the way that you just described?
Well, you know, as I was alluding to before, we all are potentially music, what I call MBUs. We're all musical blessing units, because we have our singing voice.
That was like a Saturday Night Live phrase or something.
Didn't mean it to be funny. But to be able to sing, even if we don't think we're singers, makes us automatically, you know, the anthropologists argue that we sang as a species before we spoke. There's a great controversy about that, but many anthropologists believe that before we spoke linearly and had language, it was all pitched, and even poetry was never divorced from sound of music behind it in the Greek times and before. Poetry was always synthesis alchemized with music, but that's another point. I digress. To just be able to sing.
Excuse me, Gary, go ahead and hold your mic. I think that'd be best.
To just be able to sing or tone is such a powerful way to presence yourself and to get out of your head. Even just, you know, just an ah, oh, ah, who, whom, you know, you know, in the shower, in the bathroom, the right? Very powerful to get out of your head and into that, number one. And it's directly related to your ability to go to, like, if you're a pianist, when you touch the key, one key, and sing it and link your voice to the note. You know, one of the biggest challenges and pitfalls of pianists, especially improvising, jazz improvisers, is that become typewriter players. There'll be all these notes. Right. And the fact that just because you can play fast doesn't mean you should be able to. And yeah. My theory is, and this is true of all the Eastern music traditions, that when the voice is connected, even when you're not singing, but when you're feeling your voice capable of singing what you're playing, it keeps you moving, as you know that famous phrase, you're only as effective as your slowest part. It allows your slowest part to be caught up with yourself, body, mind, heart, and soul, right? So for the beginners, one of the greatest gifts you could give yourself is to, like, play a C or a C and a G in open fifth and listen and first sing with it and then don't sing with it, but imagine yourself singing with it. And you psycho spiritually align your singing self with your playing self, and then suddenly your heart and soul are aligned with your playing. And believe it or not, the more you can have the patience to stay connected to that level of connection, whether you're singing or not, the more the fulfillment factor and the inventive factor gets homogenized, it gets connected, it gets unified. So I would say that if you're a beginner and you want to start playing music, one of the most beautiful things is slowing down your mind enough to allow each note to be something you could sing. So that's the first thing I would say. The second thing is to be able to play melodies or notes that where you could start to learn the intervals, right? Even if you're a very beginner. And then the intervals are the first step, which means the second, da da, the third, da da, da da, da, right? That's another key building block, right? So they understand and really know the interval, no matter from whatever note you're playing. Another building block really essential. And then you move into the modes, you know. So there's all these different tools to become familiar, but from a psycho spiritual point of view, if you can slow yourself down to not allow your motor mind and the speed of the culture's expectation of thinking, thinking, speaking, speaking, stimulation, stimulation, a lot of improvisation becomes enhanced and improved when you could slow down from the speed and the epidemic of speed in our culture. And I find it really interesting now that all these new wisdoms are coming forth on Facebook around the coronavirus, you know, because yes, it's horrible, don't get me wrong. And what's happening to our culture is absolutely astounding. And if you believe, like I do, that everything is happening in a divinely orchestrated manner, that this is a profound opportunity to come back into what I call earth pace. Earth pace, the pace that aligns us back with the pace of the Schumann resonance of the planet, the breath of earth that allows us to reappreciate the wind through the trees and the sound of the birds and the feeling of the ground under our feet. And we all need to sensitize ourselves to the kind of pace that we've lost, you know, and we've got to get ourselves back to the garden, right? Or don't it always seem to know go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? Well, we're being given a course correction that has a great amount of resonance with what I'm saying and why I think you're such a visionary in the way you're approaching music. I mean, when I heard about your concept, Daniel, around this webinar, I thought it was really timely and brilliant because it wasn't just for the musician. There are a lot of head musicians that have lost their connection to their heart and soul and to the pace of life, right? But there are a lot of people who are so tuned to the media and so tuned to the Cartesian myth of I think, therefore I am, that coming back into a natural relationship with time and space is the way to become a great improviser.
And so it's great feedback, isn't it? It's great, you know, it doesn't take much to place to do the things that you would need to do in order to play music that you can enjoy. And I love what you're saying about slowing down. It's so I get reminded over and over and over again, you know, I wanted to play like Oscar Peterson and Chick Corea and Keith Jarrett, you know, and there's gobs of notes. And it took me years, literally, to get to the point of like really getting, oh yeah, play fewer notes, just let it be simple.
Daniel, can you have time? Can you play? By the way, when I heard the piano, it sounded really bad in these phones, but is
Okay.
it bad where you're hearing it or no?
The one that I'm playing?
No, in other words, what I played, I want to play you, I
No,
want you to play.
It sounded good from
All right.
here.
I don't know whether it's going to be translated on for other people, but I'd love you to play, if it is good sound, the Sarah McCrum Transformance called Beautiful.
Okay.
All right. And I'd like you guys to close your eyes, who's ever listening to this, and just imagine that I'm listening to Sarah McCrum, sarahmccrum.com, and we said, let's create something really short that helps people get a new perspective on who they really are, right? And I just want you to see from an improvising perspective that I'm just listening to her and I'm playing in complete response to every word she's saying. And I think there's an instructive opportunity in listening to this, because I love what came out of us in that moment.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it. Okay. So, I'm gonna start it, Gary, and let me know how it sounds in case I need to turn the volume down or something.
Do you know how beautiful you are? Have you ever stopped to look at yourself? To see yourself in your truth? In the clarity of who you are? In your magnificence?
Gorgeous.
If only you could see what I can see. If only you could know what I know of you. You would stand before yourself. In awe, you would see yourself you would feel yourself you would know yourself and so I invite you in this moment to see how beautiful you are. To see yourself in clarity, in simplicity, in your true nature. I invite you to see yourself you are so beautiful.
Oh, that is just so. I'm so glad that you asked us to do that, Gary. That was exquisite.
Well, one of the things I learned, which is what I've been doing for 20 years, is when I improvise to spoken word, and then I take, first of all, that in and of itself is so, she is such a gifted extemporizer with words. Well, when you take the words away, the words are then watermarked energetically into the music, because I received her words and it imprinted me to play that. So then when you play the music only, it becomes a transmission of the intent of the words as it got translated through me into the piano. It's amazing. It's like a watermarked emotional intent that we don't have the tools to yet measure yet, but I know that it happens that way, right? And that's a lot of what has taught me about this genre of alchemical wisdom is that when you create the spaciousness around words, it almost words become a metaphor for life. And then you take the words away, and then it teaches us how to take a deeper breath into the earth pace I was talking about. Mm-hmm. So it's something to play with for those improvisers that are really struggling, like most of us, with the pace that we're forced to live in at this in this life. We're all the goldfish in this bowl of intense, accelerated, mind addicted, fear addicted, you know, the soup that we're living in. We can't help but be affected by, right? So one of the techniques that you can use is to find your favorite poem and either look at it on the piano thing or get a friend to say, would you do me a favor? You just read this poem slowly and let me just improvise around it, right? And it will slow you down to appreciate the time it takes to absorb music in a way that doesn't go faster than our hearts can go. Our mind might be able to go that fast, but our hearts and our souls move much, much slower because we integrate on a larger bandwidth. You know, I don't know, someday we'll understand why on an energetic vibrational level, but this is the reason why I love playing piano for the yoga class at Grace Cathedral. Similarly, like that same place where I had that epiphany, I'm playing and every sound I'm singing or playing goes to the highest reaches of one of the largest cathedrals on the planet, right? And somehow you become one with the field, and it's no longer the responsibility of an egoic mind that says, look at me, let me play music that'll have you listen to me, right? The purpose of real improvisation from a heart and spirit place is to play the music that asks people to listen to them. So instead of listen to me, Gary, the musician, I'm creating music that's inviting people to listen to themselves, right? And that's the turn on for me. That's what drives me into, that's what I'm passionate about.
That's so beautifully put. What strikes me as you say that is that I'm reminded of Matthew Fox's book, One River, Many Wells. There's a deep place where our connection resides, and we all have our different expressions of it. And to be able to play music that gets down that deeply so that they can hear themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, that's so, and that's the purpose of ritual. That's the purpose of spiritual gatherings. That's how can we create a context through sound and multi-sensory experiences that awakens us to the miracle of life. And that's why improvisation and this class that you created, this webinar, has so much relevance, because what we all need, whether we're a speaker in, or a teacher in a school or a speaker for a faith-based community or a leader of a corporation or anything, we all need the energy of improvisation to get us present with body, mind, heart, and soul, right? And if we can slow down enough, then we can literally trust we all know where to go. If we listen to what is being said through us, rather than let our mind control it, but faster than we can feel what we're saying, everything becomes like an improvisation. And everything becomes more coherent and resonant with the truth of who we are. And that's why this conversation you're bringing up in improvisation for as a metaphor for relevance to living a more fulfilling life has more importance now than it ever has, because we all need to slow down and catch up with the speed of our hearts and souls and bodies in a way that we have gone way past the ability for our bodies and hearts and souls to catch up.
And Gary, I just love you. You're awesome. I'm looking forward to many more connections with you along the way, because
I know we're going over time, I think, aren't we?
No, we can go on as long as we want, because we can. I wanted to throw out one little idea that came to me this morning, and it resonates with something you said earlier, is that there is something potentially really deeply around blessing with this whole corona thing. And it occurred to me that, you know, the corona is the light around the sun. It's literally the silver lining around the sun. And so I do think that it's possible that one of the deep blessings in all of this is that we are being asked to come back to ourselves and sit and to not go about our habitual ways of feeding whatever, you know, addictions we have by connecting
to our homes.
Yeah.
Our home.
Yeah.
Our home within.
Our home. And be there and to sit with it for a while. And that's important for us in order to us to be whole and healthy, is to find ourselves, find our own well, find our own place.
Right, right.
And I agree completely that somehow or other, maybe connecting to ourselves through whatever methods we can find that will help us to listen to ourselves more deeply and to slow down to the pace of our hearts and to the pace of nature. It's like it's crying for us to notice ourselves and step into who we really are.
Well, and to let the sound be the revelation rather than rush into how the sound's being manipulated into a cool lyric, cool improvisational line that'll impress other people, right?
Right.
When can we fall in love with the sound again? And that's being the root of the beginnings of a new relationship to the improvisational art. I'm going to create, if there's a way to offer this to your audience, I'm going to create a little gift zip file of music for heart-centered mindfulness, music for alchemical wisdom, music for, you know, different things. I'm going to create a little gift package, if there's a way to give that to your your customers, and then I'll probably offer something. I'll make some sort of an offer if they want. This will be like a sampler that's free, and if they want to buy something that's larger, I'll make that available. And I'll trust that you can figure that out how it becomes offered.
Sure. Well, there'll be a link by the time anybody sees this. There'll just be a link right below this video, and people can just click on the link, and it'll take them there.
Great. Fantastic.
Yeah. And as you mentioned this earlier, but so is this the All Is Well Divine 9 Tunings for Sacred Space?
Well, I decided that rather than just that, I'm going to offer that as the abridged version of the 46 minute version is it's really cool tuning that came out of Amsterdam called divine9music.com. And it's a whole story unto itself that we don't have the time for. But it's a remarkable tuning where every single pitch is tuned to something divisible by 9, 9 being the most mentioned number in all spiritual texts, but also 9 is the number divisible by the Fibonacci sequence and the pi ratio. So this guy, Hert Kramer, created a new tuning system that has had a remarkable effect on people who are listening to it. It's supposed to bring you to deep states of equanimity and stillness inside. So I'll do that, but I also want to include an example of the heart-centered mindfulness, example of transformance. So I just wanted to give them a taste of the different genres that have been extemporaneous based. And so I'll create something, a little package custom for your audience.
That's so great.
Yeah, no, and I just want to thank you for being the one, being the visionary that saw that inherent in the way we improvise, including how we improvise in a way that takes us away from ourselves by, you know, impressing people and egoic expression, that it becomes a metaphor for a lot of the aberrant behavior that's out there today that we don't need more of anymore.
Yeah.
So thank you for bringing forth this great, great work. I love your work, and I love the expression of this. Thank you.
I appreciate that, Gary. Thank you. Onward in joy and service and harmony.
Indeed, my friend. Yeah, wisdomoftheworld.com, and thank you for your work, and I'll spread this thing as far as I can do it and continue to do your great work, Daniel.
Thank you, and you too, my friend.